Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here talking to you again about the Joyful Manifestation Process. The Joyful Manifestation Process, it's a 10-step process that I created, keeping in mind all the Law of Attraction teachings and deep spirituality of the East, the success tips, the success methods of the West. All of this has been combined in the Joyful Manifestation Process to bring to you a very detailed process that will take you from step one till the point that you reach your goal. The Joyful Manifestation Process is not just It's not just success, or it's not just the Law of Attraction and thinking correctly. And it's not just about very deep spirituality from the East. But it's actually about combining everything and having a kind of a supermarket. It's a one-stop shopping center where you can get every aspect of your spiritual and physical life met. Your questions are answered. Do I go the spiritual way? Do I go the success materialistic way? All of these things are actually combined into one package, and that is Joyful Manifestation. Spirit is what turns into material. If there is somebody who feels guilty about being materialistic, as long as you're aware, as long as you, when I say you, me, you, everybody, as long as you're aware that it is spirit that takes material form, you're fine. All your material goals are not going to be considered selfish. You're not going to be considered materialistic. And you're not going to be considered somebody who lives just for his or her ego. As long as you remember always that it is spirit that converts into material form. And it is this material form, or it is the spirit that makes the material form available to you to have a fantastic life. And that all of this material is available to you and given to you by God and the universe. If that information or that awareness is there in the mind and it's present, then what happens is in your seeking, when I say your, I mean, it's me, you, all of us, not an accusation. It's not an accusation that, oh, you're seeking material pleasures, but it's all of us, correct? As long as you're aware of the truth that it's God and the universe that is providing this to you, and it is spirit taking material form, and that you're here for your purpose, for your life purpose, and that is to have a very good and happy life, full of abundance, given to you by the Creator himself or herself. If this awareness is there, then any material pleasures that you seek, quote unquote, material pleasures that you seek, any amount of money that you seek, if you're seeking soulmates, if you're seeking love, if you're seeking pleasure, if you want to stay in the best places in the world and tour around, etc., all of this is fine because you're not lost. You're always aware of the truth of where this material life is coming from. It's given to you by the higher power and it's given to you by the higher source just so that you could have a very good life. It's only when people think that, oh, this whole world is just material and I'm going to do whatever I can to have all of this. And when they forget the truth about who they are, where they come from, and it becomes kind of a borderline abuse of the material products, then there is what we call a karmic problem. But as long as, you know, it's done with this awareness of how amazing this world is, how amazing this universe is, and how hard everybody and everything works for us to have a fantastic life, the karma related to, the negative karma related to being materialistic is almost zero. And you can, just be in that place of feeling blessed and having grace in your life pour down on you. In my own personal life, I always walk with this awareness that all of this, which has been given to me, everything that's given to me is given to me by Source. And as long as I'm aware of this truth that it comes from Source, then anytime I want something, I go back to Source and I ask. Even if I have a small desire, personally, this is my experience, tiny, tiny desires of mine are fulfilled easily, just easily. And when you're in touch with Source, what happens is that even before you think it, it's done. It's done. So it just manifests automatically, but it's only when you go into the tug of war of manifesting, then there is a problem because you're now trying really, really hard to make something happen and you're putting all your efforts behind it and it's running away from you. And that's where somebody is not in the place of joyful manifestation. And they're going into what I call difficult manifestation. It's difficult. Everything becomes hard and the whole process of manifesting becomes painful. And that's when your manifesting is coming from a very karmic place and it's not coming from an easy and joyful place. Joy is a certain vibration that's available in this universe. And it is in this vibration of joy. When you are in this vibration of joy and when you're connected to it, that joyful things can happen. It's hard to be thinking of sad things and expecting happy things to happen. It's hard, almost impossible. It's almost impossible. And people wonder, okay, I want something so badly. How come I'm not getting it? Even though this world is supposed to be filled with everything that I want. It's only because you've moved away from the space of joy. That's why it's happening. Hence, joyful manifestation. In a past show, I think it's the last one, I spoke about how difficult it is to always be happy. However, happiness is something that even if you have a problem, if you go back to that place where you know that you're beyond these problems. So when you go to this place where you know that you're beyond these problems, and then you kind of have an elevated approach, that's when these problems get solved easily. You cannot stay in the energy of the problem and try to constantly solve it. It's impossible. It's like, I'm not saying it's impossible. For example, if you put a power greater than the problem itself, it will get solved. But let's say your power is not greater than the problem, then the feelings of it being impossible starts to happen, which is why it is good to get out of that conflict energy. It is good to get out of the problem energy and rise to a higher level because now you're outside the problem energy and the energies that you're flowing in are smoother, they're silkier, and they're happier. I want to tell you something, and I don't know if you're going to believe it because this is, again, technical information. But working with energy is actually a technology. And if you know how to work with it, it has to work for you. I want to give you an example. I have this iPad, older generation iPad. And then I have this iPhone 6. And these two items are, I have some other modern, I mean, later items, but these two items, I haven't given it up. I haven't given them up. And the battery started losing power quickly. Everybody said, get a new battery for these items. But then I found something. I found that at that period when the battery was draining really quickly, there was some kind of not a full presence in my home. There was a slight amount of negativity going on. I found that by playing some good music and changing the energy in my house, this happened 2 years ago. When I was told to change the batteries, guess what? iPhone 6 and my classic iPad, are working great. The batteries are fine. They last long. Nothing happens. It's because it is responding or reacting to energy presences around us. And if we can bring the atmosphere in our homes and in our minds and our own aura into a kind of a happy place, then even your equipment is going to last longer. Trust me, this happened 2 years ago. I got the recommendation to change the batteries 2 years ago. It was impossible to have these batteries going. They're still going strong right now. And I'm not saying everybody has to, you know, challenge technology and recommendations to change batteries and iPads and iPhones, but this is what worked for me. And I'm sharing it with you because it is nice to look around and see what's happening in your home, what's happening in your life, because your equipment is also connected to you. Of course, my latest iPads and my latest iPhones are doing fine, but this is for those equipment that is kind of showing signs, but they can actually run a longer time if the energy around you is good. And you will find less amount of ups and downs in your equipment. Everything kind of remains stable. The environment in your house is stable. In your mind is stable. All your cars are running good. Traffic is smooth around you. People are nice. And there is generally a joyful atmosphere around you that works for you and for all your equipment. If you're in a legal case, guess what? If you're in a legal case, then people suddenly stand up against you rather than for you. But if you're in the space of joyful manifestation, then everybody's working to make your legal case go smoothly. Everybody is literally behind you trying to make sure that everything turns out right for you. And that's joyful manifestation. I personally feel it's good to avoid legal situations. If you can avoid suing somebody, please avoid doing that. Because the more you get into that, the more conflict energy, more legal issues start to happen. And I personally come from a country where we avoid suing each other. We're more tolerant, I think. You know, go to India and just have a look at the traffic and everybody's tolerant towards each other. They know that things are not working exactly 100%, but they know that they have to adjust somehow. And so that level of tolerance is greater. And so people just don't like spring on each other and say, okay, I'm going to sue you now. I'm going to sue you. And I found that having that mentality over here for me, I carry it to this country and it works for me because what happens is now I'm in the energy or we're in the energy of joy. And in this joyful energy, things work for you rather than against you. People want to help you rather than, you know, become your enemy and things like that. Today, we want to spend more time on soulmate manifestation, the topic of love and sex. I have a guest today, and I hope we're able to contact her so that she comes on. If not, of course, you know, I can carry on the show myself. And we're going to take a couple of minutes break and try to bring her on. So hang on tight. We're going directly into soulmate manifestation.
How do you want it? You gon' back that thing up or should I push up on it? Temperature rising, okay, let's go to the next level. Dance floor jam-packed, hot as a tea kettle. I'll break it down for you now, baby, it's simple. If you be an info, I'll be an info. In a hotel or in the back of the rental. On the beach or in the park, it's whatever you into. Got the magic stick, I'm the love doctor. How your friends teasing you about how I sprung, I got you. Wanna show me you can work it, baby? No problem, get on top, then get to bounce around like a lowrider. I'm a seasoned vet when it comes to this shit. After you work up a sweat, you can play with the stick. I'm trying to explain, baby, the best way I can. I'm melting your mouth, girl, not in your hand.
I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. Go girl, don't you stop. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
I'll take you to the candy shop. One more taste of what I got. I'll have you spending all you got. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
Girl, what we do.
What we do.
And where we do.
And where we do.
The things we do.
Things we
are
do.
Just between me and you, baby.
Yeah.
Give it to me, baby. Nice and slow, climb on top, ride like you're in a rodeo. You ain't never heard it sound like this before. Cause I ain't never put it down like this. Soon as I come through the door, she get to pulling on my zipper. It's like it's a race, who could get undressed quicker. Isn't it ironic how erotic it is to watch them thongs? Had me thinking about that ass after I'm gone. I touched the right spot at the right time.
Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer back on the Joyful Manifestation Show. We are going into soulmate manifestation, love and sex. I have someone very interesting here today. Her name is Ray, R-A-Y. And she is a wonderful, wonderful person that I happen to know personally. She is so, so good. Her energy is fantastic. And I want to introduce her to you. I'm going to give her the mic, so to speak, and we will ask her a few questions. She can talk to you about her experience in the metaphysical world. Hi, Ray. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for coming on such short notice. I just wanted to ask you, Ray, what is it that you do? What kind of service do you provide?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm a clairvoyant medium and life coach, spiritual life coach. And I help people, all sorts of people, with their daily life situations regarding love, relationship, career, and finances, and also past life.
Okay, that's interesting work. Where love is concerned, what is the approach that you take? Is it more readings, counseling, guiding somebody through their love issues, holding their hand?
In a sense, it depends on the person and their scenario and situation. And majority of people I do tend to combine all those modalities into one. I read them and I counsel them, and I also look at the root of why, and I also look into past life if it comes up and if it pertains to their current situation and dilemma, and also to release any blockages that are preventing them from receiving the love.
So you feel, Ray, that a soulmate that you might meet in this life is someone from a past life, that it's a possibility and that something could... Okay. So
yes,
do you think
do.
That they have things to work out with each other in this life that they have left out in a past life?
Yes, I do. Yes, I feel that many times they encounter a dilemma or a resistance or something that seems to just not give way into the fruition of their relationship to commence and to continue in harmony. And oftentimes there's things that they try in this lifetime to undergo and to fix and heal, yet there's always something extra. And when there's something extra that can't be resolved, that's when we look into the past life and into any other types of relations they might have had before that have created some sort of resentment that's subconscious or any sort of fear in the subconscious. And also any sort of blockage that comes about, and also preventing them from making the same mistakes that they had made prior to in other lifetimes.
This situation between two people, let's take fictitious people, Jane and Tom, and situation between Jane and Tom, you think it can be resolved, even if partially, by taking a look at a past life?
Yes, I really have strong confidence and belief in the possibility that things can be resolved energetically, spiritually, and also emotionally. So once those are resolved, and there's clarity in the situation. People look at each other with brand new eyes, renewed vision, and also renewed heart. So any sort of, I'd say, past trauma has been lifted, so to speak, and also healed through that.
Okay. Is it that one person could have triggered something, like Jane could have triggered something in Tom in a past life, and he feels he needs to resolve it in this life, and he doesn't understand quite why he feels the need to resolve it, but he just feels guided to do so?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the most common themes that happen in relationships, where some, like Jane, triggered Tom to react a certain way, or Tom could trigger Jane, and then it catapulted into a big fiasco. And in regards to that, at that time, if it wasn't fixed or resolved, or if Tom didn't speak up or to say or proclaim at that moment in time, it lingers into the next lifetime. It lingers into his soul. It lingers into the next existence. And Jane could feel that also, regardless of what she's doing in her next life. They do reconnect. So oftentimes you will encounter that dilemma. And fortunately, through that type of therapy of spiritual past life resolution, that clears everything. And both are willing to go down that path together. It can be very much in harmony afterward.
And not resentful.
Yes. It can be in harmony and successful. If they don't, then it could be unsuccessful.
Okay. So when do people feel this need to be around each other or to resolve something with each other, they're going to use almost any way to do that, correct?
Correct.
Let's take a fictitious situation, Cinderella, the Cinderella story.
Yes.
Where the prince, Cinderella goes to the ball in her beautiful gown and her glass slippers. And correct me if I'm wrong in any of my details. I don't remember my fairy tales very well. But she goes to the ball, I think, and she's supposed to leave. And one of her glass slippers falls off her feet and the prince finds it. And after that, yes, the prince goes searching for Cinderella, trying to fit the shoe, the slipper, onto so many women's feet. And he keeps doing that, or he or his, you know, assistants keep doing that until they find the perfect fit, until he finds Cinderella. So what is it that, why is it that somebody, it's a fictitious story, but trust me, a lot of stories in this world, the love stories that are happening, a lot of it, people feel the need to go searching for somebody. They feel something is not complete. They feel they need to find this person. So who is this person? If you, in your words, could explain to us, who is the prince, or who does he embody or signify and symbolize, and who is Cinderella for him? Is she the missing half? What is she to him, and why is he running after her when he could have any woman in the world, literally?
Well, regarding that, yes, with the prince, Charming, who could have anyone in the world, and anyone and women begging to be with him, he's, of course, the Prince Charming of all, and he finds something with Cinderella that compels him, that wills him to be a better person. There's a inner knowing, the sense of understanding that she understands him and that she knows and sees through him and doesn't just want him and love him for that he is the prince. There's a deeper level there. And so she makes him feel complete and whole. So with the absence of her presence, Prince Charming goes a little, I would say, a little extravagantly out in search of her. But that is his desire and deep passion. And that is where the chivalry is not dead. And so he will search high and low, looking for her, and in the sense that it's not as if he's stalking her, he's seeking her and searching for her and looking for, where is my beloved? Where is my beautiful future bride? Where is my one true love? That one princess to me that is worth the crown and is the defining epitome of pure love and what makes my soul feel complete. And that is what we arrive to with that regarding Prince Charming seeking that, because he can have anybody, but he is so unhappy with just anybody. He wants her. He wants her and her only. And that is what the soul calls for and the soul requires and requests.
You know, when I'm listening to you right now, Ray, I feel as if Cinderella was his voice.
It feels as if, yes, you're right.
She was his voice. She was his, I feel so strongly that she, could I call her his conscience, his voice, his inner voice, his inner beauty, and all of his inner beauty manifested in her form. So even though she is not everything, you know, that signifies the richest woman in the world, the most, I mean, she was beautiful, but I'm sure there are more beautiful women. Still, he felt something as if she, if she was not there, then he was not completely complete.
Correct. And that is what this, that is the brevity of the situation, because there's this yearning, this deep impassioned feeling of seeking out and yearning and looking and trying to acquire that one special love, that one woman that just makes him feel that everything in the world is all right. And that is what Cinderella embodies to Prince Charming. And she is your genius, yes. She is his voice. She does reflect that and represent that to him.
So if he went searching for her, it's not stalking, correct? It is finding, seeking.
Correct. It is not stalking in any capacity. You know, in the past, chivalry, that's chivalrous. It's seeking who you love. Seeking out, sailing ships to find your beloved.
Fantastic. And, you know, if you look at the legal definition of stalking, it's intention, when you follow somebody with the intention to create fear and aggression in that person.
Correct.
And aggressive behavior, and to create fear and the feeling of lack of safety to life. When you're threatening somebody's life, when you're threatening their very existence, that's stalking. It's not when you, it's not when you go out and you look pretty and you hang around and do fun things and you invite the attention of the person that you like. That's not stalking. And if you look at Prince Charming, him going out of his way, it would, somebody with a very wrong information or of the word stalking in today's legal language would think he's stalking Cinderella. And honestly, if you look at all of her fairy tales, all the love stories, all of them would have ended before they started. What do you think, Ray?
I absolutely agree. And that's a genius mindset right there, because that is precisely true. And that is where the chivalry, and that is where deep love and seeking what you want and beholding what's true to you, because you know how finite things can be. And in that regard, seizing the day, life is short, looking for love, the love of your life, and looking and just being adorned and being admired and adored as well, there's a whole different perception of that versus stalking.
Correct.
So,
I have a couple of women, not a couple, quite a few women, lots of women actually, who want to do everything they can to get the man that they love. And then I have men clients, male clients, who want to do everything they can to get the woman that they love. And they have this weird, odd feeling that something, that they're going to be judged. And I tell them, if you want someone, go get them. Be clever, be smart, correct? Don't take risks that are not required. And do it in a good manifestation way. You're here to attract the attention of the person that you like. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. And to be proactive and to seize the day, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's actually very welcome. Why waste time?
And don't you feel like this whole world is losing its sense of romance now? Everybody's so hung up on survival and my family, your family. Family is important, of course, but everybody's so hung up on being secure and safe, and they're so safe and all the doors are locked, and then they're not allowing love in.
You're right. And that's also the world being dulled down and out of their magic frequency. And out of the elements that fairy tales do exist. Because they do exist, as you know. Fairy tales do exist, and with people who are in such fear and they're in alarmist mode, that contradicts everything that is in alignment with harmony and joy and bringing into your life love and welcome feelings that are reciprocated as well.
When you meet somebody new and you get attracted to that person, you get into the state of attraction and joy. You're literally singing inside. You're dancing around and you dress well and you look good. You smell good. I mean, people normally smell good. And you do all of these things. If you shower, you're going to smell good. And you do all of these things and you're in so much happiness because you think the whole world is expanding and there's so much there for you to live for, correct? And then there comes a time where all your fears and insecurities start to kick in and you start to contract.
Correct.
You start to contract because you believe somebody doesn't love you. And you go into contraction, and it's so counterproductive, because if you go into contraction, then that somebody is not going to get your scent.
Correct.
And if they don't get your scent, then there's going to be a problem. Ray, what is any other fairy tales that you can think of that would explain to people how they should let go of their fears and go after what they want?
So, and precisely with Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty is lying there, but is in a deep sleep, and only the true prince and true love kiss can bring her and revive her from her deep sleep. Right? The prince traveled and found her and decided to go ahead and, because what if she comes to life? So being in that bliss, being in searching of that bliss, he proceeds to do that. And because he went through a fear and unblocked that fear and went for gold, literally. Voila, we have a beautiful, happily ever story.
But that risk that he took, it has to far outweigh the fear that he has, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And not be considered a stalker.
Exactly. He took the risk of finding her, seeking her, and where in the deep, dark forest recess could she be? And there's the risk of, well, what if I don't find her? Well, what if I find her? What if? Well, I'll just go for it, because I may as well try and seek out instead of regretting it for the rest of my life and being miserable and unhappy with someone else, always wondering what could have been. What should have been. And that is where the risk and the fearlessness combine come to a happy conclusion.
When I listen to this, I start to feel free, personally. I am a very free person. I just go where I want to go. I do what I want to do, safe mode. But do you know, I took a cruise in 2013, 21-day cruise from US right on to Hong Kong. Took a flight from there. Yeah, 21 days on a ship. It's a container ship, but you get your own suite and you have an amazing chef making all kinds of things for you, and you get to sit with a captain and his team in the same room. So 21 days all the way to Hong Kong, and then I took a flight to India, stayed there for a year, took another ship, you know, flew down to Hong Kong, took another ship from Hong Kong to Long Beach, and I came to Las Vegas, and that was 18 days. And to be out in the open, on the Pacific Ocean, on the ocean, and to sit there in their navigation room where everybody's doing their job and just looking at the blue ocean, the blue waters and the skies, the feeling of being free, it's out there on the ocean. And this, you know, where do people actually let go of their daily lives and just take off?
Correct. You bring up a very valid point with that.
So if Prince Charming didn't let go of all his fears, and if he didn't let go of his fears and people didn't take that risk, 21 days out on the ocean, no hospitals nearby, no ERs, you're all alone, the only woman with like 30 team members of a container ship, I don't have that kind of fear that keeps me bottled up somewhere. I know I'm safe. I take myself with me. I'm with me, right? So I know I'm safe, and I carry this feeling of being safe anywhere. And I know I'm fine, and I'm not scared. But I'm the kind of person who would take a risk for someone. I could go like thousands of miles for somebody and find them and bring them back. But a lot of people in this day and age are sitting where they are sitting and just leading their lives on a day-to-day basis. I'm planning another trip, another cruise again. And they just sit there and they don't want to take risks for love, and they don't want to take risks for this and risks for that and make their world expand. You know, this world is not just US or these cities. And yes, I'm in Las Vegas, the most beautiful city in the world, according to me, but I love the whole world, and I love to go places, and I love to see things and go on 20-day cruises out in the ocean, et cetera, et cetera. And when you talk of these fairy tales and the kind of freedom that they must have felt.
Correct.
If you were to talk to us, Ray, what would you say?
Well, I agree with you 100%. There is that beautiful freedom, and that if you don't take a risk to expand your world, literally, and to see what else is around you and see what you can find and discover through your journey, you never evolve. You never get to the next level unless you take that risk. And by taking those risks and embarking on newfound freedom each time, that your soul regenerates, your heart, your mind, everything about you, you gain experiences through that. Through taking risks, you gain more. Instead of sitting there, twiddling one's thumbs, and saying, huh, what if I did that? Oh, and then 30 years go by, and they never tried, they never pursued, they never sought out that one person that they were madly in love with or they felt compelled to. They never traveled the seas. They never let themselves take risks and be fearless and intrepid and go forward. So I completely agree. I think that it's very liberating. And it's in addition to one's evolvement to just be and let yourself be.
However nice your home is, it's still a gilded cage, correct?
Correct.
If you remain only in that and you don't step out of your home and you don't take those risks. You know, I called my brother. I said, why did you come on the cruise with me? It's 21 days. And he says, I don't have the time. I don't have 3 weeks just to devote to sitting on the ocean. And then that was in 2013. And then, of course, I came back in 2014 on another ship, took another cruise. And then However, he discovered his sense of freedom and he just went bicycling on the Himalayas. Mm. He just went bicycling on the Himalayas this time. And that sense of freedom where you don't mind doing whatever you can do to get what you want. And correct. To be free and to be in that space of joy. So, Ray, when you work with somebody, let's say I have a problem. I have a love problem and I come to you and I say, this is happening. This is how the guy is. This is what's happening. How would you help me?
Well, I would assess the situation. I would psychically look into you and psychically look into the person in question that you are with or that you're interested in or that's interested in you. And I would assess it in that manner. And then I would also look at you as the individual as to if there's any sort of past issues in your own personal life that are affecting any new love from coming in. And also I'd look into your past lives as well together.
So then let's say you find something in me with where I am, if I'm your client or XYZ, okay, let's talk about Jane. Jane is your client. And let's say she has blocks in her that's not allowing her to fall in love or that's not allowing her to continue a relationship with somebody. Is it that she has been disappointed previously and so she feels scared and has a problem with trust?
Most likely, yes. It would be that she does have a trust issue or many trust issues and fears as well. And also has been, I'd say, gone through it or seen too much that now she has, in a way, put up a defense and a wall and not allowing anyone to come in. And therefore, those are the blocks that she herself, they're self-created blocks. And then there's blocks that others can contribute to your self-created block. But that's exactly how I would refer to that as. That would be past issues in this lifetime. And then we would delve further into what else is going on in former existence. But that is definitely people that are prisoners of their past make it very difficult for themselves to embark on their own journey. In their own new love and inviting that one and only amazing person to come their way. It's a magnetic type of pull.
So if you take, you know, the example of me going on the ocean, and I love doing that for 20, 25 days, whatever it takes. And this time I'm planning a cruise all the way to Singapore and to stay in Singapore for a month and then come back. If you take that sense of freedom where I'm willing to take that risk because I want that experience, correct? So how would you take that to a relationship where there is this fictitious person, Jane, and she's scared to take this risk with this man because he's probably not been good to her for a whole year? How would you take the sense of freedom where you're just ready to take off and go somewhere? How would you apply that freedom to a relationship? So how, what should a woman tell herself? What should a man tell himself when he is contemplating embarking on something with somebody but is not doing it because of all the caution in his mind? How would you bring that sense of freedom into them? Like, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that I would say that they need to find their own center and be mindful of their own actions separate from anyone else at this time so they can heal and self-discovery. That way they can be the better person for themselves, therefore being a better person for the other person that comes along. And if they want to improve their life, they need to start from the root of oneself. Start from the very, very deep inner recess of their soul. And I would encourage that. I would encourage to go on a self-discovery trip, to just be at one with the ocean or go to a beautiful destination and really go deeper with no distractions. And a lot of times people find excuses. Oh, I'm busy with work, or I'm busy with the family, or I'm busy with the children need me, and I understand all of that. Yet there's always a time and a place where make time for yourself. No matter what you are, no matter who you are, no matter how busy your schedule is and how demanding your life is, it's very, very, very healing and rewarding, and it'll pay off instantly. So if you were to go on a journey and really look inward, you'd strengthen yourself and you'd be a better person. You'd be a better partner for that person. You'd be better at everything because you took the time, you took that specific time out for you to make your life better and improve your life and improve your love life and improve what you have with your partner.
What if Ray, one person wants to do this, but the other person doesn't want to do this? Should this fictitious Jane take off anyway, finding her own journey, and then see if the other person catches up? Or should that person sacrifice?
Well, energetically, the person should do something for themselves. And then the other person, because eventually the other person will catch up with them. The other person will catch up eventually, because if that person pursues their own journey and they might sacrifice the weight here and there, there's a time and a place for that. When you believe in love, yes, you can wait for it, yet continue to do your own, because that person will catch up. That person's soul will align with your soul. And everything will work out from that point forward.
So you cannot stand in one place and keep waiting for somebody.
Correct. You can wait for someone in your mind, yet you have to keep moving for yourself. So there's a duality that exists there. So you're moving in forward motion, yet your heart is on a pause, in a sense, to allow self-love and self-healing, and then everything energetically combines together. So when that other person is ready, they come forward and they can deliver at that point.
So let's say my sense of joy or Jane's sense of joy will transmit to the other person, and the other person, being your soulmate, will want to experience that same kind of freedom.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And so, Ray, given this thing about if you are in love with somebody, I'm just talking of fictitious Jane, fictitious Tom, and if somebody is in love with someone, you know, what is the state of mind that they should have? Are they supposed to think of it as torture? Especially if they're not getting what they want, is it torture? Is it supposed to be joyful? What I tell my clients, Ray, is having a soulmate itself is an honor.
Yes,
so
I
agree. If you found your soulmate's energy, whether you're with him or not with him, having found him itself, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because there are people who have not found their soulmates in this life. And so that's a reward in itself, just to know that this person is there, existing somewhere, independent of you. The next step is manifesting that person into your life. But just because that person is not with you, you know, yet in your life, it doesn't mean that your love story is bad. No, because you've manifested him into your space, into your universe.
Correct.
Think of all the people who have not manifested their soulmate and they don't know who their soulmate is.
Right.
The step two is getting your soulmate in your life, and that's soulmate manifestation. So this whole thing, it's when you start to feel sad that even though your soulmate is there around you, you're not with your soulmate, you start to hurt step two, and that is getting him into your life. But if you're happy and you come from the space of joy that, guess what, at least my soulmate is there, I am, and I know who he is, then you are in a state of abundance, of celebration, because guess what? He is in your energy field. And now Absolutely. You can work to manifest him.
Absolutely, yes. Precisely correct.
And so that's joyful manifestation, soulmate manifestation also. So, Ray, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they do that? What is your phone number and email address? Can you just give it to our audience because we're at the end of the show right now?
Oh, yes, of course. And thank you. At 702-333-8737. And my email is rayrayunicorn@gmail.com. Rayray, R-A-Y, unicorn. @gmail.com. And please send a text as opposed to calling in case I can't respond back right away.
So can you repeat your phone number once more just so that they can write it down?
702-333-8737.
702-333-8737. If anybody wants a love reading and they want a past life reading and they want to work on their money issues, their health issues, and they want to get into a better space energetically, do contact Ray. She is amazing and she's very loving, very sweet, very knowledgeable, and she will guide you. She's not somebody who comes from dark energy. She comes from very wonderful and beautiful energy. And again, Ray, what is your email address?
My email is rayrayunicorn@gmail.com.
That's rayrayunicorn@gmail.com. We're at the end of the show. And, you know, this is Sugandhi Iyer, and we will be signing off the Joyful Manifestation show soon. The message of the show is go after what you want. Don't think of it as stalking. You're not stalking anybody. As long as you're within law, you're fine. And read up on it. You know, you're finding someone. You're seeking someone. You're not stalking someone. And you're attracting someone into your life. Let your love story open up and find your joy and go there and get the person that you really like. I wouldn't mind if somebody liked me and came after me. I wouldn't consider it stalking, you know, if there's no danger to my personal life. I don't care. I look at it as somebody having initiative of, you know, going after what they want and doing what they can to get what they want. And I always admire people who go after what they want. And remember, as a joyful manifestation, as a joyful manifester, you can make it happen. This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show signing off. Thanks and have a wonderful 2 weeks waiting to talk to you again.